Good afternoon. Thank you very much for being here today. We have a couple of hometown heroes that I'm going to turn over to Representative August to talk about our floor period. As soon as the folks in the back are a little quieter, you may tell them. Thank you. That would be great. So thank you very much for being here. It's going to be a good day in the State Assembly today. Lots of things focusing on making sure we have education and that we have a workforce ready to go. So I'm going to start by turning it over to Representative August to talk about our calendar for the day.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll keep things brief here. We do have two hometown heroes to start off the day. We have a resolution being offered by Representative Gundrum that we will take off the Senate message. And then we will get into the bulk of today's calendar, dealing with some of our manufacturing sector, as well as freedom of speech in higher ed. So with that, I will turn things over to Representative Michalski to discuss his Assembly Bill 549.
Hi. Thank you. I'm here to talk about AB 549, which will expand and improve the technical college system's ability to train Wisconsin's manufacturing workforce by utilizing a dollar-to-dollar matching grant in two areas. First, it creates a $16 million grant, $1 million for each technical college school, so that the technical colleges can improve and enhance each school's manufacturing facilities and purchase advanced manufacturing equipment for training. Second, to staff and improve the facilities with quality instructors, the bill will provide a one-time grant of up to $5,000 as a sign-on bonus for advanced manufacturing and CDL instructors. Why is 549 important? The National Association of Manufacturers reports that manufacturing contributes about 20% to Wisconsin's gross domestic product. Over half of a million manufacturing jobs in the state with an average annual compensation of about $80,000. Unfortunately, manufacturing workforce is aging. Over 25% of the workforce is over the age of 55 and will likely be retiring within the next 10 years. It's essential to replace these individuals. Additionally, the Department of Workforce Development estimates that by 2030, we will need to increase our workforce by an additional 24,000 individuals. This is about 150,000 new people that need to be trained by 2030. In short, we must expand and improve the technical college's system's ability to train Wisconsin's manufacturing workforce, and AB 549 will begin that process. With that, I will turn it over to the representative of Chaz Green.
Well, thank you all for being here today. Manufacturing is a huge economic driver in the state of Wisconsin, supporting roughly 500,000 jobs across 92,000 companies. It has an economic impact of about $68 billion a year. However, this industry is not exempt from experiencing workforce shortages. In 2017, the legislature established the Technical Education Equipment Grant Program. Demand continuing for this grant program, it needed adjusting. So with Assembly Bill 550, we do a few things to keep this successful grant program going. First off, it allows grant money to be used to enhance facilities as well as procure equipment that is used in construction fields and the workplace. Secondly, the bill promotes consortiums or teams of school to submit equipment requests in order to pool their resources and serve more students. Third, it expands the maximum grant award from $50,000 to $100,000. It also requires DWD to award at least one-third of the monies to school districts that are eligible for sparsity aid. And lastly, it reduces the requirement from 200% to 100% for schools that use private business funding to match for the grant. It is important that we keep working to ensure our students are exposed to this crucial industry in our state. And thank you for your time. And I will now refer to Rep. O'Connor.
Good afternoon. I'm here to be excited about the fact that we're creating an automatic admissions bill into the University of Wisconsin. It's based on scholastic performance from any school graduating seniors in the state. It includes homeschoolers, choice schools, charter schools, public schools. So if you're graduating in the top 10% of your class, you're entitled to enter an automatic admission into any of our state schools. You're also entitled to get into the University of Wisconsin if you're in the top 5%. We set together some ranking order for that. So there's a foundation. It's a combination of GPA, ACT, and other considerations that the local school boards can take into consideration. As a result of that, we hope to expand the number of kids coming into our four-year schools and create the outcome where they remain here in Wisconsin once they leave. So for AB 370, we're excited to see that get done today. Next, please listen to Representative Nedweski.
Thank you, Representative O'Connor. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm here today to present AB 553. AB 553 is legislation that is responsive to a series of informational hearings that the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities held earlier this year, addressing the lack of intellectual diversity on UW campuses and how this affects outcomes and the Wisconsin workforce. Its substance is informed with evidence delivered to us through the results of a UW system-wide survey of over 10,000 students conducted last year that revealed serious concerns about the support for freedom of speech and expression on campuses and on students' lack of knowledge about the protections of the First Amendment. AB 553 seeks to establish freedom of expression and academic freedom standards on University of Wisconsin campuses and technical colleges across the state. It also outlines due process standards and penalties for those who violate these standards. This legislation enshrines the principles of University of Wisconsin System Regent Policy 4-21 into law for the purpose of clarifying and protecting the First Amendment rights of students, staff, and visitors on UW campuses going forward. If a UW institution or a Wisconsin Technical College violates this policy more than one time in a five-year period, that institution's tuition will be frozen for a period of 2 academic years. In an abundance of testimony throughout this session, we heard from many stakeholders that Policy 4-21 has no teeth. There are no penalties for violations. AB 553 addresses this. Enforcement of 4-21 is inconsistent, they say, and some administrations inequitably apply these rules. While the bias reporting thought police run around campuses threatening severe action for merely expressing a thought that might offend someone, the UW Student Free Speech Survey results tell us more and more that students, particularly those with conservative viewpoints, choose to self-censor rather than participate in meaningful discussion and debate. Many are choosing not to attend UW schools at all. Increased campus trends of using tactics such as the heckler's veto, disinvitation, and differences of fees for security for speakers threaten our commitment to the Wisconsin idea. This is not education. This is not what most students want. Students choose post-secondary education to broaden their minds. They don't want to invest small fortunes into echo chambers of narrow groupthink that will not only keep them in the dark, but will also not help them down a successful career path. There is a direct correlation between the declining enrollment on UW campuses and the perceived lack of support for free speech. This is a crisis for our universities and a crisis for our workforce. AB 553 by no means is a solution to the cultural attack on free speech, but it is an opportunity for the legislature to lead and to unify behind the First Amendment and behind the fearless sifting and winnowing by which alone the truth can be found. And with that, I will turn it over to Representative Redding.
Thank you all very much. Here to speak about AB 554, which is a very simple bill at its core, but a critical one that will move us from race-based criteria within our higher ed's AIDS programs to a new criteria based on the Supreme Court decision that came out earlier this year that found in college admissions that the use of race in those criteria violated the Equal Protection Clause under the 14th Amendment. So looking at that, and now that that precedent has been established, we are looking to shift criteria away from race, which is not only just morally wrong to continue to divide society that way. I know that's been a great discussion the legislature's been having. But now that we have those principles as being founded as unconstitutional, to a new disadvantaged definition to ensure that those who are in true economic need are still able to receive aid under these programs, they continue to be viable, and we as a state can turn the page on using these outdated practices. Polling has showed that nearly two-thirds of Americans are in support of ending the use of race in this way, and now that the Supreme Court has spoken on this and has established that it just violates the 14th Amendment, it's time to move forward and progress in a new direction. Thank you.
So with that, we're happy to answer any questions.
Will there be an impeachment vote today?
No.
Do you anticipate it attempting to be brought to the floor at all today, and would you support that?
Well, first of all, if it's not on the calendar, the caucus doesn't support it, right? We go through a process with our rules. I don't think there's really even a process to bring it forward. Am I right, Mr. Leader?
Yeah, and I can handle that. I mean, first of all, it's tough to discuss a hypothetical situation, but it's my understanding from our caucus that there's not going to be an effort to do anything like that. And so I don't see that there is going to be a vote today, and I'd be surprised if there wasn't.
Speaker Voss, can you provide some clarity? Last week, Governor Evers filed a lawsuit against state GOP. Can you provide some clarity on whether or not Joker has chosen to withhold funding for UW system employees until DEI programs are eliminated? Is that true?
Sure. Well, first of all, the legislature's ability to allocate the funds is longstanding. Governor Evers has a typical tactic rather than reaching out, trying to find consensus, maybe generate some kind of bipartisanship. He has now resorted to just going to court. That's really what we are seeing, that he has an ally in the Attorney General, and they are committed to spending tens of millions of dollars suing state government to try to get their way because they can't persuade us through the effectiveness of their arguments. So I think that we look at the longstanding practices of how the legislature's operated. I can't see any reason why even a liberal Supreme Court would change that, considering the fact that this has operated this way when Democrats were in charge and a Republican governor, when Republicans were in charge with a Republican governor, and now when the reverse is true. So hopefully the lawsuit won't be successful. We'll continue the practice that we've already had.
So can you guys clarify? The Brewer's bill came out today, has the changes that were discussed, but it overall reduces the state's contribution, adds a $2 ticket tax to non-Brewer events, and the Brewers are paid $10 million more. Are you in support of that, of the amendments, if it makes its way over?
I haven't had a chance to talk to my Senate colleagues, but certainly anything that helps to get the bill through. It seems to me we have been talking about a non-Brewer event ticket fee, so that's something that we discussed in this House as well. The opportunity for the Brewers, hopefully they're willing to commit more. I know they have been already good partners with us, so hopefully this is what gets it over the finish line. If it can get through the Senate, I'm sure we'll support it in the Assembly.
Do they have your support with those changes?
Once again, I have to talk to the authors to really understand it. I just read a quick news report before I got here. But if it's a small ticket fee, I don't think that's unreasonable. I think if it's allocated toward reducing the state share, that's a win for everybody. So it seems reasonable until I see the details.
Speaker, what do you make of these new ads targeting you, pressuring you to move forward with impeaching Megan Wolf for threatening to recall or primary challenge you?
Sure. Well, the first thing I would say is there is one person in the state of Wisconsin that has stood in the way of election reform since the year 2019 when he was sworn into office.
That's not Robin Voss. That's not any of the legislators who are here. That's Tony Evers. We have passed dozens of election reform bills. We will have more on the calendar before the end of this floor period. The only person who's really had a problem with actually having us have elections that are better run is Tony Evers, because they benefit from it. So the fact that you have a small disgruntled group who are frustrated because we don't have the votes to override Governor Evers, there is nobody who's more frustrated at our inability to have Governor Evers, who is ineffective, inarticulate, and standing in the way to reform, than me. So I would suggest to them that they should redirect their efforts toward convincing Tony Evers and the voters of Wisconsin that he is the one standing in the way of reform, not any legislator in this building.
Thanks, everybody. Speaker, why are you withholding funds from just UW Systems staff?
Who do you work for?
I work for TMJ4. Why are you withholding raises for specifically UW Systems staff and not the rest of state employees? We've been asking this question for the last week. I understand you were out of town, so could we just get some clarification on that, please?
Yeah, it's very easy. We need to have a university system that represents the entire state. Right now, we have a system that does not. We have one that is focused on, you know, since the year 2017, I think the university system has hired almost 1,700 employees with declining enrollment. So it seems to me that if they have the resources to be able to hire 1,700 additional people, they don't necessarily have the need for some of these things. So I'm certainly open to looking at what the possibilities are, but we've been working with the administration, the university system. I think that in the end, we will hopefully find a way to get to a yes, but the legislature is not going to stand behind the idea that we can have a system that focuses on division, indoctrination, and exclusion at the expense of the rest of the state. So hopefully we'll find an answer. I'm an optimist. I think we will. We've had good discussions, but we are not going to move forward until we have a consensus that generates all the way through.
Are you saying the original resolution will never be voted on?
We had a brief discussion about it today in caucus. I think that we are nowhere near a consensus. But you know, I can't predict what's going to happen in the future, but I think it is unlikely that it's going to come up anytime soon.
Do you think the claims in it have merit?
I think that there are problems that if people look back that I think we have in some ways already addressed. Look, we need to move on. The election in 2024 should not be about what occurred in 2020. We had an election in 22 that went fairly well. There weren't a lot of issues that were brought up. We had Ron Johnson get reelected to the United States Senate. So I think we need to move forward and talk about the issues that matter to most Wisconsinites, and that is not for most Wisconsinites obsessing about negative votes.
Thank you.